All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight? Shit. I'll fucking take all you want.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Spring has sprung. In theory.
We had like a wicked snowstorm the other day.
Yes, but today it looked all gone. Today it looked nice outside.
It did.
I don't know if it was actually nice because they didn't actually get outside.
It wasn't really that cold though.
It looked like it was okay.
Yeah.
But then I hear we're going to get snow again what, tonight or tomorrow.
Are we?
Yeah, here. That's, yeah, it's a no-win situation.
God,
fuck
done.
That groundhog.
I missed the too damn hot episodes.
Yeah, word. No, don't worry,
I want to have a problem with the heat.
No, really, that goddamn groundhog lied is really what it comes down to.
He's
I'm blaming the groundhog.
He's a liar.
Well, you know,
what are you
going
to do?
You can't trust people from Philly.
Wait, who do we know from Philly that's a double entendre joke, too?
I'm sure someone. I don't actually mean that to the people from Philly. Or maybe I do. I don't really care.
Wow.
Anyway.
Way to alienate a whole city.
Oh, come on. I love Philly. The city of brotherly cheesesteaks or something, right?
Yep.
Isn't that their moniker?
Geno's, right?
No, Pat's.
No, Geno's.
Pat's.
Pat's is a mess.
No, Pat's is the goodness.
Geno's.
No, Pat's is delicious.
Much more delicious.
Now, I feel I need a smock when I eat a Pat's. And that's
are you from Philly, listener? Are you from Philly? You can call the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you can weigh in on the Pat's versus Geno controversy on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. And who knows? You may end up with a fabulous prize.
You may, in fact, end up with some sort of prize.
For contributing to that GVM line.
That's right.
Geek Stuff. What's in the news?
Seemed like a good break there.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we're not as smooth as others.
No.
I'm just saying.
We didn't even tell them the title.
No, see?
We're rolling right ahead and plowing through.
What is the title? This is episode 281.
That's true.
I am OG.
I am Big Kev. Okay. And this episode we're referring to as Big Kev and his flying OG.
Okay. I guess will we actually explain this title? Or is
we
this
will.
One of those ones that'll sit out there in the ether
no,
for everybody to guess?
No, you mean like horse with no name? You still don't get to this day? No, this will be explained in segment two. Tonight.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
So the news.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Ant-Man trailer, because we're hoping that it's still online at this
now,
point.
Now, were we able to grab that in some way so that we could share that?
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm working on that. First of all, we should say it's not really a trailer.
No. It's test footage. It's
concept footage.
Right. By Edgar Wright.
Right. This is the footage that they showed at Comic-Con last year that I understand is going to be in some sort of box set that's coming out, some sort of phase one. Is there another phase one box set that's coming out?
There is?
I think so.
Oh.
And I believe it's going to be in that set.
That's interesting.
As a bonus.
Are they just going to package everything together and call it phase one?
I think so.
Hmm.
Not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea. Just kind of. Just I didn't have them all at this point.
Well, you know the problem with those sets?
I don't think I have Avengers yet.
The problem with those sets is that I'm going to say a lot of times, while they do give you a lot of goodness, they remove other things. You know what I mean? Like a lot of times they'll take little bits and pieces from the other individual releases.
Right.
We've seen that before.
Yeah, but Lord of the Rings didn't do it that
way.
Well,
no. Lord of the Rings did not. No, didn't they?
No.
I thought
they just kept adding.
I thought in the Lord of the Rings there was something on the original extended editions that was not in the set.
No. In fact, they just kept adding stuff. And when they put them out in Blu-ray, I think there's even more stuff.
Right. We'll talk about that when we get to DVDs tonight.
Okay.
But anyway, Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I liked it.
As far as concept footage goes, yep. I have no problem with it. The costume looked like shit.
No, but the costume wasn't colored. The costume was awkward.
Hey.
I mean, red and silver.
That word.
Red and silver.
Okay. Just saying.
This isn't Ant-Man Unchained. It's this is just Ant-Man.
Just saying.
No,
that it you know what? As far as, you know, the growing and shrinking and the way they handled all that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean, I really, really liked that a lot. I thought they did that in an excellent way, and I'm almost excited to say that I'm looking forward to the Ant-Man movie.
If you had asked me years ago,
would we ever see an Ant-Man
when they announced an Iron Man movie, if I was going to be excited, I'd have been like,
It wasn't the Iron Man movie. It was the Thor movie.
No. I'm going back when Iron Man was first announced as someone who was never really an Iron Man fan.
Right.
I didn't hate him, but he was Iron Man.
Yeah.
He was there. He was had a history, Jerk. But he was there. When I first heard they were making an Iron Man movie, I was like, oh, really?
And then the casting happened.
And then you were like, wait a minute now. Right. And then the trailer happened and we were like,
oh,
holy shit, this could
be something.
And then the movie happened. So
yeah,
my point is
it's too early in the game.
Right.
Do we know has Edgar Wright said anything about it being Hank Pym or not?
Who else would it be? Who else was Ant-Man?
There was a couple of people.
As Ant-Man?
Mm-hmm. The last iteration of Ant-Man was a guy who stole the Ant-Man suit. It was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, who stole the Ant-Man suit.
He has not. I don't think he has said either way if it's been Hank Pym. I could be wrong. But I would think.
It's got to be
Hank Pym. It would be a grave error.
Yeah.
To not make it Hank Pym.
I agree.
I think Marvel fans would just.
Lose their mind?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In a not good way.
Okay. We'll wait and see. That Iron Man, the new Iron Man trailer, did you see that?
With homeless Mandarin?
No, I...
I'm pretty positive I gave Mandarin a buck one time coming out of the subway in New York. I'm just saying.
I'm saying, why didn't they get that guy, the guy who played Egg Chen in...
Is that guy still alive?
I think he's still alive.
That guy looked like he was barely alive when he was Egg Chen.
No, when he was Egg Chen, we should say the movie, because everyone's like, who the fuck is Egg Chen? Egg Chen from the classic, the John Carpenter classic, Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes.
That actor, whose name we don't remember at the moment, also appeared in a movie with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Called The Golden Child.
The Golden Child.
When he first appears in The Golden Child, that's the guy he looks like. He looks like the Mandarin in this movie now. While we're talking about trailers... Because I know the rest of the news is going to make me angry. I want to talk about things that make me happy.
Sure.
Kick-Ass 2 trailer.
Holy shit. Fuck. First of all,
did you see the red band version?
I did see the red band version. And I...
We should link that on the site.
I'll post it so people can see it if they haven't seen it yet. The standout for me in that trailer was Jim Carrey. Holy shit. He looks fucking amazing.
I can't figure out whose voice he's doing.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Because Nicolas Cage, it's a well-accepted fact at this point, I hope, by everybody listening to this program, that Nicolas Cage when he was dressed as Big Daddy,
yeah,
was doing what's his name? Adam West.
Right.
From Batman. From the 60s Batman show. So if we accept the premise that Nicolas Cage was doing some sort of voice as Big Daddy, I think Jim Carrey is doing some sort of voice
as I forget the character.
I can't remember now either. Patriot something.
It's something like that.
I can't remember what it is. But yeah, I mean it, and the movie looks really good.
It looks really good. What's the bad guy's name?
McLovin.
Bad motherfucker. Is that his name?
It's McLovin.
Yeah.
It's Red Mist, isn't it?
It is, but he renames himself.
Oh, does he?
Film as like Bad Motherfucker.
I don't remember. Like that.
But it does. It looks really good. It looks really good.
That kid his name is like Christopher.
Yeah.
Something. Whatever it is. I can't remember. I probably have it all wrong, but it's some weird.
No, I'm pretty positive it's Christopher.
Christopher something Peace something. It's not Christopher Makepeace because that is the star of the early 80s classic My Bodyguard and the early 80s classic Meatball. So it's not Chris Makepeace, but it's like
Christopher Mintz-Plasse. And it's the motherfucker.
That's the character's name? Yes. McLovin. Yeah, they should have just called him McLovin.
But yeah, that trailer looks really good.
Does really, really look good.
You know which trailer I have mixed feelings about since we're talking about trailers?
No.
Since you told me to check it out? Zero Charisma.
Okay. Now, what is your problem with Zero? Now, let's talk about this. Zero Charisma is a movie that is currently playing at Sundance.
That's correct.
And I believe they're looking for a distributor.
Right.
But I don't know that they have found one yet. This is by no means ever going to go to mainstream.
No, I don't think so.
There's not a single person in this movie you've ever heard of.
No.
Like, not even some older star.
Although
that's
at first
like,
I thought it was Ethan Suplee.
No.
As the GM, but it's not.
No. So it's about, I guess it's about a dungeon master, a D&D group.
Right.
Right. And they're, you know, they're like, the game is a really important part of their life. And like, I guess some guys were having trouble making the game. So this other guy, who I guess they're in the game store one day and the GM overhears this guy talking about he'd like to play or something. And they invite this guy in and he just disrupts the game.
Yeah, well, he's kind of like the cool. He's kind of like the cool D&D is in my life, but I like to play guy.
No, you know what it is? He's like a phony. He's like a G4 fan.
No, I don't know. I get the impression that he's like on the cusp. He's like a hipster.
Yeah.
But he's like. But I get the impression that he wants to play, but it's just not his life.
I'm pretty sure.
It's a weird mix.
I'm pretty sure the last time we were in San Diego,
yeah,
we were at a whole party with those guys.
Probably.
And it was hosted by G4.
Probably.
So the point is that, as the game starts to unravel, because
right.
this guy's a douchebag, the DM guy, who is clearly a little insane, you know, is like... I don't know. This seems to me this turns into a dark comedy at some point.
It's weird because...
You're going to put that one up too?
I'll put it up, yeah.
Okay.
The guy is a douchebag, but the other players seem to like him.
Yeah.
Like he's bringing beer
yeah.
to the game. Uh-huh. And it's like, you know, and he's a pretty boy. Look, you know, so it's kind of like the cool kid hanging out with the
right.
nerds.
Yeah.
For lack of a better description. And then the GM just kind of loses his shit.
Yeah.
So if the movie ends with him like killing... hipster guy,
yeah.
It could be a fantastic movie.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, I don't know. I think it's going to be good. I just had mixed feelings after watching the trailer.
And the name, Zero Charisma.
Zero Charisma is hilarious.
Hilarious.
It's a great name.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So.
So we're going to put links to these trailers
that we discussed up on the website.
I want to talk about one more thing before we move on in the news.
Okay.
This is a movie that is currently playing on HBO.
All right.
If you have like HBO, you know, like the on-demand.
Right.
You know, where you can pick the movies that are on HBO. Juan of the Dead.
Oh, no.
You must watch Juan of the Dead.
What if I don't Juana?
Well, you will Juana. And then when you see it, you will Juana watch it again. Because it was... Fantastic.
Really fantastic?
This is fantastic. This is clearly a situation where somebody in Cuba or a Cuban person or something
is a fan of Simon Pegg.
Is a fan of Simon Pegg, is a fan of Shaun of the Dead, because this is, what if Shaun of the Dead took place in Havana, Cuba? Amazing. It was so, I think I had heard something about it.
Is this by that, what's that company, Asylum or something like that?
I'm not sure. I remember hearing something about it quite a bit ago, and then I was like, ugh. And then I happened to be like watching HBO the other day, and I saw that it was coming up, and I'm like, I'm going to give this 10 minutes. And within 10 minutes, I was like, all right, I'll give it like the first half hour. And then I was hooked.
You're hooked.
Yeah.
All right.
Got to check it out.
I'll look up Juan of the Dead. I don't think I'm going to look up Juan of the Dead.
You should. I'm telling you. You were a fan of that. You were a fan of Shaun of the Dead.
I loved Shaun of the Dead.
Rest of the world. You would like this movie. I'm telling you.
All right. Let's move on.
All right, actual news.
Well, I don't know if anything's actual news anymore. So I guess we hear some news about Days of Future Past.
Oh boy,
Azazel, the Red Demon, coming back.
Azazel, not coming back.
Not coming back.
Why?
I don't know. Not coming back, and apparently he's not part of the story.
That's weird.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I can, you know, in the comic book,
you're not setting up the Nightcrawler very well.
No, but I mean, unless you assume that it's something that happens, we don't know, but it could be something that happens in the we don't see time. Because in the comics, maybe. Azazel, wasn't he? My recollection, it's been a long time, Azazel, whatever it is, it's been a long time, but he was actually introduced in like a flashback with Mystique.
It's possible. When
you learn that he's Nightcrawler's father, yeah. He's not like modern day.
I don't remember.
So
that's a shame. I kind of like that.
And then there was some rumor that Alan Cumming was going to be coming back, and that has been debunked as well, which is sad because that is the most wasted character ever.
He shouldn't come back.
He absolutely should come back.
They didn't make enough of a point of him in the fact that they eliminated him in the third movie so that they could have the
Beast.
That they could have Beast, the Kelsey Grammer Beast in there. Eek.
One of the things I also saw
can't
this
have two
that
blue
thought,
characters. Yeah,
that I thought was really interesting is that Chinese actress Fan Bingbing. Please, I Fan Bingbing. I'm just reading.
Fan Bingbing.
Okay. Has been cast or is going to be playing the mutant Blink in Days of Future Past, which I thought was really interesting. I like Blink.
That makes sense.
That does make sense. So that's interesting. Okay. I thought that was pretty cool. And I think that's it.
I don't recall that Blink is Asian.
No. Well, no, she was. It was hard to, you know what? It was hard to kind of put your finger on Blink because she was kind of.
Because she always like moved around.
Well, no. Yeah. No, but wasn't her skin tone was kind of like
pale,
purpley, and she had like pointed ears. She was weird look. She was, you know.
We'll see what the movie version looks
also,
like.
Also, Daniel Cudmore looks like he's coming back, who played Colossus in X2, X3.
Oh, good.
So that's interesting. I like Colossus. So there's some good things coming out of this, we hope.
Okay.
Disney. Has released the image for their new Star Wars Weekend logo and poster.
Uh-huh.
And this is, of course...
now that they own it.
You know, I saw something the other day. It was on Blaster, or maybe it was on MovieWeb, or MTV Geek, or something like that.
Something.
But it was like, this is not the first piece of artwork we expected to come out of the Disney-Lucas merger. Really? This has been going on since 2001. This is nothing fucking new. Star Wars Weekends is 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
12 years old. There have been... Now, they skipped a couple years, but I want to say this is the 9th or 10th poster.
Right.
Logo sure. event. So, just a little bit of research is all I'm saying. When you do a little story...
Irresponsible journalist,
a little bit of research. But anyway, the image is... I actually like the image. It's Mickey on a speeder bike. And the way back is a scout trooper on a speeder bike chasing him. And is it Minnie in there too? I think it's both of them, right?
Oh,
and
I
it's
don't on Endor. Is Minnie in there?
Yeah. So it's
but,
it's a
but I saw
poster.
Chip and Dale who are hopping a ride in the front of Mickey's
Ewoks.
They weren't Ewoks. They were Chip and Dale.
I know, but But in the action figure line, they're no, that's the equivalent true. Of the Ewoks.
Yeah, but in that, they were just Chip and Dale no, hopping a ride. Yeah.
So anyway, I like the image.
Yeah.
I'll get it. You know, and anybody out there that has the 2010 poster that doesn't want it.
Are you still searching for that?
It's the only one I'm missing. 2010. That's the one with Boba Fett, right? Yep. Yup.
Damn.
All right. Well, since we're talking about Disney. Peach Dragon. Disney plans on rebooting Peach Dragon. An all-new film.
How can you reboot? It's just a remake.
It's just a remake. I mean, for those of you who don't know Peach Dragon.
You should be ashamed.
I mean, I don't know how you don't know Peach Dragon, but it's one of the early, I don't think it's the first, but it's one of the early Disney live action.
Oh, not nearly.
Animated live action.
Not nearly mashups. The first.
It's one of the earlier Disney ones, though. Bedknobs and Broomsticks was before it, I believe.
Was one, yeah. There were ones before that, too.
But really, I thought Bedknobs was first. Was Bedknobs not first?
I don't think so.
Anyway.
Oh, what about...
Song of the South?
Song of the South?
I don't know. I don't know when those two fell.
Song of the South was prior.
You sure?
Pretty sure.
Well...
I have to look it up.
Either way, the writer, David Lowry, who I don't know.
No idea.
He's apparently going to be working on the screenplay, and it was also noted that the new version is not being planned as a musical. So the first one wasn't really a musical.
Yes,
though,
it was.
Was it a musical?
Oh, totally. A full-on musical.
I remember music.
Including
Jim Dale
and Red Buttons.
I haven't watched it in a long time.
Are you kidding? Every 5 seconds someone is singing in that movie.
I haven't watched it
Mickey
in a really
Rooney.
Long time. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't. So this
it
not
was
a musical.
And this was, and that was also what's her name?
So clearly a bastardization.
I can't remember what her name is now. Ugh.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was totally. Oh, yeah, man, and the Gogans.
Yeah,
singing all kinds of songs. Shelley Winters, Ma Gogan. That also had what's his name in it as well.
Who?
The late star of Taxi, and Celebrity Rehab.
Oh, God.
Kinnicky. From Greece.
Oh, what the hell is his name?
Jeff Conway.
Yeah, Jeff Conway. All right, moving on.
Yes, sir.
From that bastardization.
Yes, sir.
Godzilla.
Into this one.
Yeah. Godzilla, the production on this is beginning shortly.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was interesting, two casting choices that I thought were interesting.
Okay. Matthew Broderick.
Ken Watanabe.
Wanatabe
and David Strathairn.
Oh, you mean
Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange,
yeah, has been cast in the upcoming Godzilla film.
Is
by
it
Legendary Pictures?
What now? Do we know anything about it? Is it just a straight up remake of the original Godzilla?
I don't know if it's a remake or if it's just another Godzilla movie, but it's set to come out in May of 2014, so it's cool. about a year away.
Let's take a moment and talk about Godzilla.
Okay.
So this is something interesting convention-wise.
Okay.
You know, these Godzilla stars are starting to make, from the original movie, are making convention appearances.
Well, they want a piece of the action.
So the guy in the suit,
oh, God.
Godzilla, I think he is going to be at an upcoming Monster Mania.
Nice.
So you want to check out Monster Mania, Google it, Monster Mania, right. Guest list for whatever, I think
whatever
it's the
it
next show. And then the guy who is actually the star of the movie,
okay,
is actually going to be a chiller at the end of April.
They want a piece of the action.
It's pretty fabulous.
That is pretty fabulous.
I'm pretty down with
I know
that.
Godzilla fans will be excited.
I am a Godzilla fan.
Well, there you go.
I like the Japanese 60s and 70s.
Oh, yeah, do you?
Big robot and guys in suits playing giants and stomping on toy trucks.
For now, I'm only looking forward to Pacific Rim. I'll make my judgment on Godzilla later.
Okay. Pacific Rim.
With that, actually, before we take our first break, do you want to take that voicemail real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that now.
Okay.
Hey, Matt and Kev. It's fan of the show, OPEP fan, again. Just calling in this time. I started seeing some chatter this week on some of my internet gaming forums about a possible new Spawn movie. It got me thinking. I'm a huge fan of Spawn. I have been since it first came out. I thought the first movie was okay, but I'd love to see a redo to the series. Is there any truth to the chatter I'm starting to see? I'd like to get your guys' take on it. Thanks.
So there you go.
Imagine if you were a soldier in the Devil's Army. That is Spawn.
Oh, McFarlane. The animated series was really good.
Yeah?
That was from the animated series.
Uh-huh, yeah, it was.
I liked it. That was on MTV, wasn't it?
Or no, it was HBO. It was on HBO. Yeah, right. That was, yeah. The animated series was great. The live-action movie...
was El Stinko.
Whew.
Yeah. So have we heard anything new? I'm going to say yes and no.
Okay.
The yes is that McFarlane has been talking on and off for years.
Yeah, really nonstop.
A new animated series and a new movie. As recently as 3 or 4 months ago, he said that he was working on the script and it was halfway done and blah, blah, blah. So that's the yes. The no is, I don't think it'll ever actually happen.
I don't think so either.
I think Spawn is kind of
passé, yeah.
You know, Spawn was one of those characters. He was huge when it first came out.
For its day.
Right. One of the first Image books, McFarlane's book, you know, and McFarlane was huge back then. But I don't know. Is it just me or, I mean, hasn't McFarlane kind of, he seems like he's not in the forefront of anything anymore.
He isn't really. I mean, I think the toy company would be gone were it not for Halo toys.
And the Walking Dead toys, I think, are doing pretty
good. They're not really producing a lot of them, though.
I know, but they're doing well when they do come
good.
Out. They
look good. You see the latest wave that just came out?
Yeah, they look fantastic.
It was Michonne, and it was, what's his name? Daryl's brother.
Yeah, Merle.
Merle.
Yeah.
That was a great figure.
So I think that even if he finally does put together a script, and I don't believe that he ever actually will, I just don't see Spawn as being a big thing anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and McFarlane is kind of, I don't know, he's kind of fallen out with the community with all the Neil Gaiman stuff that went on and all that bullshit. And I
think the best thing that we can say to you, sir, is that you should not hold out hope that this is actually going to happen.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
I think it would be highly unlikely that it happened.
Right.
So I wouldn't be holding out hope. We'll keep listening, though. I mean, if we hear anything, we'll definitely...
We'll report back on it, obviously. Yeah,
but we have people that kind of report that stuff to us all the time. So if you hear something, you know, just drop OG an email.
That's right.
Or reach out to him on the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And, you know, that goes for the rest of you, too. If you have an interesting story, idea, or a question, just like this guy, you know, just drop us a line over at the GVM, and you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, where we will address your issue, concern, comment, snide et cetera. Remark, and so forth.
And with that being said.
Yes, OG, we will take our first break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 281, I think, called Big Kev and His Flying OG.
Saturday, April 13th, cash in your tax refund and come to Geek Fleet 5. Come to 663 Kearney Avenue, Kearney, New Jersey for the best spectacle on the East Coast.
Unwinnable presents
Geek Fleet 5. Our vendors are guaranteed to have something to quench your geek thirst. Comics, video games, bootleg DVDs, old toys, board games, books, posters, and more. But wait, that's not all. Geek Fleet 5 is also an artist marketplace. That's right. Come to Geek Fleet to buy wares from photographers, painters, filmmakers, comic creators, jewelry designers, clothing designers, and more. There will also be hot sauce. Buy some food from the church ladies. Geek Fleet 5. DJs will be spinning music all day. Enter one of the raffles and be the next big winner. Sponsored by 80stees.com, Loop Lounge, Garden State Roller Girls, Paradox Comics, Barcade Jersey City, Comics Explosion, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and Tailslate. Don't forget to come to sunny Kearney, New Jersey for the best event on the East Coast. Saturday. April 13th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 663 Kearney Avenue, Kearney, New Jersey. Geek Fleet 5. Our prices are insane.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care.
Hey, this is Jules Stay from Firefly.
Hey, this is Marina Baccarin from Firefly.
Hey, this is Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy and Firefly and Serenity and some other stuff, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you geek.
Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 281.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, I think so.
I guessed.
I'm going to get this part wrong, though.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Big Kev and his flying OG?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Bonus. Bonus for me. Don't forget, of course, you could check us out online over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. And, of course, don't forget to check out our Amazon Associates link. We appreciate all of you who continue to use that. It has been good for the show. And, again, we appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
And let's do this.
Geek Stuff, comics, books, and graphic novels. Books.
Yes, sir. A couple to talk about this week. I'm going to open with DC, because I just think the stuff is fabulous lately. Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 18, by Scott Lobdell and Tyler Kirkman. So this is obviously, it's called Requiem, so it's all part of the, you know, it's all part of the same, he's dead.
Right.
Sort of thing, with the boy wonder.
I'm behind on Red Hood right now.
Are you?
Two issues. And the one issue before.
Oh, I don't want to tell you what happened.
Then. Well, no, don't spoil it for me, but I will be reading it shortly.
Okay.
You know, I'm buying those on the digital delay to get the reduced price, because God only knows I don't have a lot of time to read as it is, so it doesn't hurt me to buy it a little bit later. So I'll be grabbing issue 17 this week, I think, through the digital for the reduced price, and then I'll wait a couple weeks and get the 18.
Cool. And then I also got from DC this week, Batman Beyond Unlimited, number 14. This is a book I do not think enough people are reading. And there's so many people working on it, it would take me like 10 minutes to list all the names. But it is a great universe. It's got great stories going on in it. I really think if you were a fan of the cartoon series, you should definitely be checking this book out. So that's that. OG, did you have any DC books?
I did. Justice League of America number 2 is out this week. Issue 1 was really awesome, you know, other than the fact that Green Arrow was in it. Okay. So that is out this week.
Other than.
And also, something I want to check out this week, Constantine number 1. I read the preview of it in the back of some other issue last month. And, you know, I was always kind of on the, I don't know, I wasn't a huge Hellblazer fan, but I was kind of a Hellblazer fan.
Right.
So this seems like it's a good opportunity to maybe check that out. Uh-huh. So that's out this week, too. I'll be grabbing that. But to be honest with you, I think I'm more excited this week about Marvel, which is, I know, crazy.
It is crazy. I'll tell you my Marvel books if you tell me yours. I got Daredevil number 24. By Mark Waid, art by Chris Samnee. I'm not a big fan of Chris Samnee, I have to say.
You've said this before.
Yeah, and I'm starting to lose faith a little bit in Daredevil. And by the way, I'm looking at the credits page, by the way.
Yeah.
What does the chief creative officer have to do with this book?
I don't know.
Nothing. What is the, I mean, maybe the publisher you should list, the executive producer. What is the executive producer of a comic book?
I don't know. Don't they always list that stuff?
I don't know.
I think they've always listed that stuff. No. I don't think that's new.
Assistant editors are getting listed now in the title.
To the assistant manager of the movie theater.
Unbelievable. I mean, the art, the colorist, the writer, the letterer, who did the cover. Those things are all important. To get Joe Quesada and Dan Buckley's name in this book and Alan Fine.
I think they're probably in every book.
I don't know. Well, let's find out. I'll switch gears then. Let's just say that I'm starting to lose faith in this Daredevil book, and I'm kind of thinking I wouldn't be terribly upset
if it went away.
If or something revolutionary happened.
Yeah,
because it just seems like they're trodden on from month to month because that's what they're expected to do. Captain America number 5. Oh. This book is really good. I finally caught up on it, and I really like it. People think I'm nuts. Rick Remender is the writer. John Romita Jr.
Lovely.
Is doing the pencils on it, so you know it's fabulous.
John Romita Jr. is going to have a cameo in Kick-Ass, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, he's an awesome fella, friend of this program. We get Tom Palmer and Scott Hanna are the inkers.
Oh, I like Scott Hanna.
And Tom Palmer. They're both, like, been around quite a while.
I have a Scott Hanna sketch in my sketchbook.
I think I have a Tom Palmer sketch
in
mine.
He did a Green Goblin sketch for me back in the day at a Penn Plaza Pavilion.
One of those.
Yeah.
Yeek. Yeah, so it looks like, yep, Joe Quesada, Dan Buckley, Alan Fine. And at least there's a credit in here that deserves to be here. Captain America, created by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby. That I appreciate. I just don't think we need to have half a page of credits in here. But what do I know? So this is continuing the Cap is lost in some other dimension storyline, which is really great.
Right. No, it's not. Is it good?
Yeah, really? Actually, I kind of like it. It's different. It's something different for the character. There hasn't been, and let's be honest, there hasn't been much different about Captain America in, say, 60 years. So it's nice to have something a little
different. He was dead for a while. He was Bucky for a little bit. All right. In the Marvel books that I'm picking up this week that I actually am excited about, well, the one that I'm reading, but I'm not necessarily excited about, is Savage Wolverine. It's been a good read. I'm just not. I'm not as excited about it as I am for, say, Nova, number two.
Yeah.
Can't wait to read that. Downloaded it. Just, you know, tonight I'll read it, you know, while the episode is boiling down.
Uh-huh.
It takes about 6 years for that to take place. I have plenty of time to catch up on some books.
Are you saying our equipment is outdated and need of replacement?
I'm saying that we need a faster machine. That's all I'm saying.
I'm saying Monitor is the one who screwed us.
Monitor did screw us. Also, Superior Spider-Man number 6. It actually has been getting slightly better.
Oh, stop it.
So I'm looking forward to reading that this week. You know, it's going to be interesting, I think. So there's that. And then the book that I am most excited about this week is neither Marvel nor DC.
Oh?
Saga, number 11.
Oh, yeah.
Saga is one of the best books out there right now.
So I think that we've got to be due for a trade, probably.
Number 2, I think, is coming out shortly, if it's not out already.
It wouldn't be. It would be 6 and 6, so after next month.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. A couple other things that we should talk about. Well, one is that I'm trader-waitering on Nova.
Right.
We already talked about that. A new Star Wars book came out today from Dark Horse.
Yes, I actually might check that out.
Legacy Volume 2, Number 1.
And it's one of the Solo daughters.
It is not. It is one of the Solo descendants.
Oh, it's not a daughter.
It is not a daughter.
Okay.
It is actually, I think, a great-granddaughter,
okay.
I think.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to check that out.
Yeah, I struggled not to pick it up today.
Yeah, well, that's... Dark Horse for me is digital downloads, so that's easy.
Well, it's not even that. It's that I think, I don't know what's going on with this Dark Horse losing the license thing.
But maybe they're not. We heard last week that there was a renewal of the contract of the other book. So
no, that's a little weird. But we have to say, and I think OG would agree with me on this. He'll back me up. Star Wars Legacy, probably the best Star Wars comic book ever written.
It's one of the best. It was absolutely one of my favorites.
Yeah.
As far as expanded universe,
right.
For sure, but just in general. Absolutely.
So a new chapter in that, you know, in that universe, that part of the universe, always something to be excited.
Absolutely.
About. So that's something that was very exciting. And then there was something else that was fairly significant that I think we're both forgetting.
I don't think so. I don't think I grabbed it. I didn't see or grab anything else when I was at the shop today.
No, okay, I can't remember.
All right.
That must have been it.
Geek Stuff, product reviews.
The Hobbit came out on DVD today.
The end.
The end. No.
No.
Well,
DVD segment. And Blu-ray, sir.
So that's great that it came out.
Yeah.
Am
I getting it?
Aside from the fact that maybe I wanted the Bilbo minifig if I bought it at Target, which was a Target exclusive. It came with a little Bilbo Lego minifigure.
Really?
It was Target exclusive.
I already got that.
Why would you buy this? If you've seen it already.
Right.
Why would you buy this?
Why would you buy this now? Or
yes,
why would you buy this now? Because you can't wait.
See, I can wait.
But how long are we waiting?
I'm guessing that the movie will be out. Yeah, I'm guessing the movie will be out on, you know, HBO or something over the summer or something if I really want to see it. Or, you know, I'll grab a digital download of it somewhere and I'll watch it that way. But I don't, after buying four copies of Lord of the Rings.
No, it's three.
I bought the theatrical release.
Oh, okay.
I bought the extended edition. I bought the combined edition. I bought the Blu-ray, so four, and I bought the Blu-ray, yeah. And I still have all of them.
They did those huge packs. Then they did everything that was in the huge pack in the slim pack.
It was everything that was in the huge pack plus everything that was in the small pack in the slim pack.
Right.
And then there was the Blu-ray.
Blu-ray.
So I have four.
Right.
So I'm not doing that to myself again. I'll wait.
Yeah, I don't want to do
that. And especially what we talked about earlier, all the extras and all the extra stuff they add.
Yeah.
You know that when it comes out, especially because it's three movies, it's going to be a fucking huge box set. So
just like last time.
Why waste $40 now or $30 now? Look, and I'm not, look, obviously people are buying it. I'm sure that it's selling well. I'm sure some of our listeners have already purchased it. Me personally, I can wait.
I'm going to take the other position, OG, and I'm going to get it. And the reason I'm going to get it is because we waited so long for this movie, and there really has been no sort of extra material about it. I mean, other than what you saw on the internet, and my understanding is there's some good making of stuff, and there was a lot of stuff that went into the making of this movie. About the license, about friend of this program who did not end up directing the movie.
Oh, yeah, Guillermo?
Guillermo del Toro.
Look, I'm sure that I will see all the bonus material some way, shape, or form.
I'm sure at some time, but I'm just like, you know, for the fact that this is the week that it's, you know, if you go to like Best Buy or one of the places where you can get it real cheap. You know what I mean?
You
got a fucking couple of coupons. You know what?
In all honesty, I might wait. You know, maybe I'll wait a month or 2 months and I'll pick it up used.
Oh, that's a good idea, too.
You know, I'll go to Amazon and I'll buy it used for
used today.
$15. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But I can't see myself shelling out full price.
Right.
When I know 4 years from now, I'm going to buy a box set.
I can't imagine 4 years.
I know.
I hope I live for 4 years.
All right. Let's move past The Hobbit.
Well, let's move past The Hobbit into... tonight's namesake for the episode. And this is, I was so excited that somebody actually got the rights to put this out. I want to give all sorts of commendations to Shout Factory, who picks up licenses.
I love Shout Factory.
Great random stuff all the time. And this is one of those things. This is Johnny Sacco and his Flying Robot, the complete series.
Of course it is.
You have no idea what this
is. Not even a clue.
This features all 26 episodes plus a 24-page book in a special 4-DVD collector's edition set. Fantastic. Now, this actually is coming out from Shout Factory. I think it's this week. What's today's date?
Today's the 20th.
Oh, so it's actually next week.
Okay, so there you go.
We got this nice and ahead of time. You may not remember this. Or OG, you might remember this. You might be old enough to remember things that happened in the 70s. I'm not old enough to remember.
Well, sure you are. Things that happened in the 20s.
Things that happened in the 70s. But you may remember, OG. This was in the vein of the Godzilla movies of the late 60s. So this series took place 67 to 68.
Okay. Right?
So just kind of one thing. And if you saw the robot... You would recognize it. He looks vaguely Egyptian. OG will make some.
This is like the original Stargate.
What? In what way is that like Stargate?
It looks a little Egyptian.
Well, he does look a little Egyptian. That's true. And then the little Japanese Johnny Sacco, of course, who makes the robot do all these things. So if you can imagine, it's kind of like we were talking earlier about Godzilla movies and the guys in the suit movie. This is like that. But like Voltron-esque sort of like, I'm trying to think of a better
Ultraman.
Example. Yeah. Like big guy and rusty. Yeah. Well, that's probably a bad example, but yeah, like Ultraman. Yeah. It was a string of those type of things. And this was one of the best ones as far as cheese and really awful fighting goes. But it's one of the things that you will love to, you'll hate yourself for loving it so much. All That's right. what it is. So you want to check this out. I want to send you, where can I send you to look at this? Shoutfactory.com. Check that out over there. It's also available on Amazon.com.
I will post a link to the Amazon.
Oh, great. That would be awesome.
Thing within the show notes. Yeah. So you can go grab it if you'd like.
Totally. And, yeah, I think, should we give one of these away, OG?
Sure.
Sure, let's do it.
I was going to say no and screw the listener so I could watch it.
Right.
But we'll give one away.
All right, OG, how do you want to do it? How about an email?
Okay.
Why do you want Johnny Sacco and his flying robot, the complete series on DVD?
All right.
Why enough. Should you, listener, win this fabulous prize?
So send those emails over to bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com.
Uh-huh. And make sure you open each email with, hey, Kev.
That's how you get disqualified. And we will read the winning
email
in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So we'll say, let's see. Today is the 20th, so 2 weeks from now is the 3rd. So you have until April 3rd at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Nice.
To win that. And I should say that we are the Luke Chu mini print contest ends today.
It does?
And that winner will be announced
next
on
week.
Twitter, Facebook, oh. and the episode post tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that.
So there you go.
Luke Chu, that's the guy who did that book that I don't have, right? I'm just checking.
You know, someone on the message board said, you know, how come Big Kev's always, you know, begging Luke? It's not like he didn't send anything.
Hey, hey, was it Luke Chu saying that?
It was not Luke that said that. Nope.
Begging.
And
I'm just remembering. And, that's all.
And I said that you're mostly harmless. I think that's what I said.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was it Luke Chu?
It was not Luke Chu, no.
Okay, because it was Luke Chu.
No, it was a listener of the show.
Really?
It was Crockett over at the message
board. Oh, it was Crockett. Yeah. I was going to say, is it Banksy?
It was not Banksy.
Okay.
I got to reach out to Banksy, by the way. I sent him a package in the mail.
Oh, you did?
And I'm waiting to hear if he received it or not.
Did you send him?
Yeah.
And did you send one to?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, they're supposed to film themselves doing
we'll
it.
We'll see what happens.
They're not going to do it.
No. But we'll see what happens.
All right. Cowards.
So we're going to switch on and off because you have a couple things and I have a couple things.
Okay.
I have here, and you can get these over at OctoberToys.com. These are the two newest color waves of the mini Deadbeats. We've talked about these before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
These are like the OMFG minifigure
right.
scale based on the Scott Tolleson design.
But they're beats.
They're little beats. These were the, I think they actually released these on St. Paddy's Day. This is like lime green and metallic green.
Gotcha.
Metallic and lucky green is what they're calling them. Of course,
lucky green.
You can get these over at OctoberToys.com. They are $2 a piece, so well worth it to order a few. So, definitely check these out. And I think they might still have some of the other colorways
right.
available for sale on their site, too. So check that out. I have all of the colorways thus far of the Deadbeats. I am a fan.
The Deadbeats are cute.
I know. I really like, and I think next to the maroon ones, these could be my favorite, the green. I
really?
Really like the lucky green. I'm feeling it.
That's awesome.
I'm feeling it.
Lucky green. I want to talk about this. The jury is still out how I feel about this. EFX prop replica. You can check them out at efxcollectibles.com. They just put out another collectible. I think as a company, they're awesome.
Okay.
The stuff they do is awesome. I think I was at Celebration. I don't know if it was this past year, if it was 2 years ago. Well, they did the replicas of the Captain America. I think it was 2 years ago. They did the replicas of the Captain America posters.
Yes.
Like the recruitment posters
right.
the movie. Well, now what they've done is, which again, the jury is still out based on a few things. You remember in Avengers that Agent Coulson had his vintage Captain America trading cards?
I do.
Well, they've now issued those cards.
Right.
In like a collector's set, if you will.
Right.
I don't know. I haven't opened them yet all the way, so I don't know. There could be, I don't know, there could be like 40 of them in the set.
Okay.
Split into two packs. And it looks like some of them have blood on them.
Oh.
Because like, didn't yeah. Coulson like have
them?
He
had them some, and, or
yeah.
he had them, yeah.
And so they come in a little sleeve. Nice picture of Coulson there. And... you know, the Avengers logo on it. Now, my problem with this is, one, is that I think they should have did them without the blood. They should have did just a straight-up trading card set.
I don't know. I kind of like that they're, like, they're movie replicas. They're replicas.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, that's the angle, I think, that if we had some of the, you know, if we had those people on right now, they'd be like, but in the movie. Yeah. All right, so I get that. I appreciate that. That said, here's the other problem.
Okay.
They're $40.
Dollar a card, plus the snazzy case.
If they're 40 cards. I don't know if there's 40 cards in here. I don't know. Something really threw me about the price.
Yeah, I probably would pay 25, maybe 30.
Yeah, I thought 25 would have been appropriate. I mean, it's not like a 60. I mean, I don't think it's a 60 card set. Do you have EFX collectibles up over there, OG?
I don't, but I can try to get them up.
That was my basic problem with it. But then I had this thought. I recently have been starting to put stuff together on display, either in my home or for Studio Q or other places. Because between OG and I, we have fabulous stuff, I think, that should be displayed. And this is one of those things. I am a big Captain America fan. I always have been. Captain America was the first comic book I ever read. On a regular basis, and I'm still a big fan of Captain America, and I really love the movie. Recently, while at Michael's, which is a craft store here by where OG and I are on the East Coast, I got some display boxes that are made for shot glasses, but also perfect for astromech droids. And I happened to see they had like a baseball card display frame thing that I thought was really, really awesome. And I thought, wow, this is a way to display these Captain America trading cards, and I think have them look really, really good. So I think that is what I'm taking away from this, that I can at least display them really well. So they should be a lot of fun to display that way. Yes, OG?
EFX website doesn't have a card count.
Oh, it doesn't.
But okay. What it says is that it's two complete sets of cards.
Okay.
One regular,
uh-huh,
near mint.
Right.
And one bloodied.
Oh, is that what it is?
So it's two sets of cards.
Oh, so you could have the bloody or the regular.
There you go.
Wow, that's cool.
So there you go.
I wonder, I thought about actually taking the bloody set and just like actually like doing a little fake blood on them. You know what? And then displaying them that way so that it looks a little less printed, a little more like actual blood. I wonder if I'll still do that. Anyway, so you can check those out. OG, you got something else?
I do, but you can go and do your last thing and then I'll do
my
thing.
We should swap off. You do yours.
Two Kickstarter projects I wanted to mention tonight.
Oh.
OMFG Series 3 is up and running. The Kickstarter project for
now
that.
Now, have they already taken all the designs for this? When can we submit our designs?
The designs for Series 3 are done.
Okay.
They have been submitted, voted on, selected, and now the Kickstarter project is live.
Gotcha.
They're currently taking submissions for Series 4.
Oh, they are?
Yes. So you can go over to octobertoys.com.
We got to get ours in there.
You can do one if you want.
I'm going to do one.
You can go over to octobertoys.com and click on the forum link. I have no artistic ability whatsoever.
Sure,
click on the forum link, and if you go to the OMFG section, you'll see a thread for submissions for Series 4.
I once saw you build a theatrical set like an Amish person would.
That's true. True. Give me a nail, a 2x4,
and he'll take you to a whole nother place,
whole nother world.
Can a Navajo sunset?
Oh, Navajo sunset. So the five designs that were selected for Series 3 that are being produced are Barbarinot, Fruit Punch, Dr. Decay, Tenkan, and Pugnacious.
Nice.
So out of those five designs, I mostly like all of them.
Really?
So I will probably back this project. No, I will back this project. And you should back it too. If you're a fan of the OMFG series, it's definitely worth it.
Cool.
To continue the line. If you don't like one of the five, you should still back the project.
It's still
well worth it to back it.
Absolutely. That's the kind of thing that you want to collect all of.
The other thing, there's another Kickstarter project I wanted to mention before you move on to your thing. Minitendo Series 2. Now, we talked about these early on. We actually reviewed a couple of them on the show. The Doc A piece.
Yeah.
The Luke Chu piece. Uh-huh. Scott Tolson piece. So this is Series 2 is now coming out. There's a Kickstarter project for this as well that you could check out. I just wanted to rattle off some of the names for you, though, the artists participating. David Horvath is in there. So if you don't know who David Horvath is, you know who David Horvath is. The Ugly Doll.
Oh,
David
Horvath. Yeah.
Gary Hamm is in there. Kano is in there. Nathan Hamill is in there.
Oh, our buddy Nathan Hamill.
Yeah, Seanimals is in there. Ragnar's. I mean, there's some really good artists in this series. And over at the Kickstarter page, he's kind of like teasing what the designs look for these as they come out.
Cool.
So definitely want to check this out. I'll post a link to these two projects over at the page. And you know,
there's a lot of there's a lot of great projects over at Kickstarter.
There are a lot of great projects.
We whatever happened with that other one?
It was funded.
Oh, it was?
Rivet Wars?
Yeah, that
was funded.
Hey, do me a favor, send me a link to that one. I want to reach out to that guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so OG, I'm very, very excited about this. Our last piece for the night, and this is going to take a minute to talk about, but it's unbelievably worth it. So you remember about years ago, we talked about the brand new StarCraft.
Was that like 3-4 years ago?
I don't think it was that long.
No?
One, two, maybe?
You were still in Mill Street, I think, when that happened.
Two, three
years
ago?
You were still
in
the old apartment when that happened.
I know. I still think it was like only 2 or 3 years ago, though.
How long have you been in the house? You've been in the house over 2 years, haven't you?
No. Not yet.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd been in the house over 2
Well, almost
years.
3 years. But yeah, that's not okay. The point. The point is
that's,
that...
That's actually the point.
StarCraft II, I'm sorry, yeah. I should say. What essentially boiled down to be the reworking of StarCraft from top to bottom. Well, now the first giant expansion has come out.
Okay.
So that was kind of the human experience, the first one. Well, now we have the Zerg experience.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't realize people were still playing StarCraft as voraciously as to warrant an expansion.
This is called Heart of the Swarm. No, they're doing 3.
Oh, okay.
So they're doing, this is the second one. This is the Zerg.
Right.
And then the third one will be the Protoss.
Okay.
Which I don't know when that one's coming out.
Okay.
Just like every Blizzard expansion that comes out, a significant expansion, we are able to bring you the Collector's Edition.
Lovely.
Yeah, Heart of the Swarm. The ultimate Heart of the Swarm experience Collector's Edition comes in a big, awesome box, just like the first one came in. What's great about these is that they maintain that continuity of packaging, and they just look together great on
the shelf. They display
all of them.
Well.
Like books.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Warcraft
Even
ones.
Even the Warcraft
too.
Ones, yeah. too, yeah.
Let's talk about what's in here, OG. It's the StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm PC Mac game. This is the DVD-ROM of the entire expansion, Heart of the Swarm. We're going to talk about that Mac PC thing in a minute as well. You also get the exclusive behind the scenes DVD and Blu-ray 2-disc set, which gets an inside look at the history of StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm. It also contains over an hour of bonus features, including tutorials on StarCraft II's maps and movie editors and all sorts of great stuff on there. You also get the Collector's Edition soundtrack. Hello. Deepen your music collection with the Heart of the Swarm soundtrack on CD. Remember CDs?
I do remember. I didn't think people still had CDs.
They do. They do. And you get the entire soundtrack for this game in the Ultimate Heart of the Swarm Experience Collector's Edition box set.
Lovely.
More, even, OG. I can't even believe how much more is in here. Heart of the Swarm, the art book. If you've never seen a Blizzard art book.
They're worth it. For the
amazing,
they're worth it. Yeah,
amazing.
Worth buying the set alone just for
60
the art books.
Bucks in $60. Any art book like this would cost $60.
Yeah.
So if you're adding, you know, if you're doing it in your head, am I getting the value?
Yeah.
You're getting the value, my friend. You also get the Zerg Rush mouse pad. Upgrade your gaming desk with a special edition mouse pad featuring Zerg Swarm Mid Rush, and the Terran Domination Mid-Tactical Retreat.
Now, is this better than the Twilight Zone mouse pad?
It's free with every order from Amazon. Not from Amazon. Entertainment Earth. For, like, ever. Well, you look, if you're still using a mouse pad and you like decorating and you're like one of these dudes.
I was only joking.
I know, but this is a good thing.
I still use a mouse pad.
I think that's the content that you're getting, you know, sort of the bulk of it. Now get this. This is something they've done the last several releases. You get exclusive in-game content.
Yes.
StarCraft II, Torisk, Ultralisk, and Portraits. So crush your enemies beneath the indomitable Torisk, a fearsome new look for your Zerg Ultralisks, and unlock 3 swarm-infested portraits.
I think what you just spoke was English, but there's a lot of words I didn't understand.
So here's the, when you you now have a different style of Ultralisk, which is like a troop type.
Okay.
Big, like a tank.
Okay.
That you can make. And there's also portraits that you can use for different things like within the game. Right. And get this. Expanding across the platforms. World of Warcraft pet Baneling.
Nice.
You meet. It says here in the gray matter, meet your corrosive new best friend, the Baneling companion pet. He's bursting with excitement and can't wait to explode onto the pet battle scene.
You're about 3.5 years clean.
Are you?
Yeah, 3.5 years.
Yeah, I might go back. The Pandaria thing
might relapse.
Yeah, I have it, and I think it's a great set. I just haven't had time to sit down and play it. Get this. Crossing the border again. Diablo 3 Blade Wings and Banner Sigil.
Nice.
So, grow Zergified wings in honor of the Queen of the Blades and unfurl an exclusive banner sigil to herald your swarm pride throughout the besieged world of Sanctuary.
Lovely.
So, all of that exciting content, all inside one beautifully designed box. It is the Collector's Edition, Heart of the Swarm, StarCraft II Collector's Set. God, these things are amazing.
I like them.
They are so chock full of everything that you want to have. So check that out. I think you can go to Blizzard.com for more information about that. Yeah, so that's that, OG. And there's that's the wrap-up music, OG.
Well, yeah. But before we do the wrap-up music, even though the bet is playing, Superpower Collectibles.
Superpower Collectibles.
Check out superpowercollectibles.com for all of your geeky goodness, toys, action figures, statues, comic books, superpowercollectibles.com, and there's a coupon code.
Yes, the coupon code BIGKEV will net you $10 off on any order of $50 or more.
That's right.
It will also net you free shipping on any order of $99 or more. Lovely. And an order of $500 will get you OG's personal phone number.
No.
No?
No, why would anybody want that anyway?
I'm just to bug you. Call you at 3 a.m.
Just text me.
Wake up, OG!
No, I don't want anybody doing that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Because of the kid.
Yeah, I'll put them on the phone.
Nice. Speaks very well.
He does? Well, you know, he's getting there.
Yeah.
Of course, don't forget you can check us out online over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You know what he told me earlier?
What?
Daddy Poof.
I heard. And you know what? He was right. Because sometimes he says it and it's not so much.
Right.
Like Phantom.
Right.
Phantom Poof. Now this time, he was spot on.
Nice.
Gotta do the potty training soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's rough.
Tie him down?
I'm not looking forward to that.
Just tie him down.
To the bowl?
Yeah.
Just strap him to the
bowl? Just strap him to the bowl.
And hope for the best.
Now you see how you just did that in there? That's what you have to do.
And you stay there when you do it.
That's it. Potty training. Sorry, go on.
Don't forget, you can check us out online over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com where we have all of our episodes. Of course, all of our episodes also now available on the YouTube.
All of them?
Oh, well, no. Our newer episodes, I should say. All of our newer episodes available on YouTube. Hey, if there's a lackey out there that wants to convert and upload all the episodes to the YouTube, let me know. Drop me an email at geeksofog@gmail.com.
Hey, you should convert one or two a week.
Yeah, it's, you know how long that process takes? Yep.
It would take, well, let me think, 270 odd episodes long-ish. Yeah,
it's a lengthy process. Between converting it to QuickTime and uploading it to YouTube, it's a lengthy process.
But you know what, sir?
What?
When you have some new equipment, it won't take that long.
Well, then we'll revisit it when we have some new
equipment. I'm just saying.
Of course, you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, over on Twitter at BKGeekStuff, and at GeekStuffOG is my account. And I think that might be it.
And with that, OG, we will end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff the way we end all episodes, by saying goodnight, Akira Takarada. I'll see you soon.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone.